You can be seated for a moment, if you would, please. Let me just... I asked the elder to pray for me this morning. I just feeling a bit challenged. Not challenged because I don't have direction, but I just feel an urgency today. I think things that my wife said to open up this session or to before I come up, I think it's just right in line. You know, our world is crazy right now. I don't look through the glass half full, and I'm not a doomsdayer, and I don't live on a negative edge. But you'd have to be twice dead and plucked up by the roots not to recognize the presence of God in here today. But you have to be just as dead and plucked up by the roots not to recognize that we are in the last days. And I just want you to understand, if you go to heaven, it's not going to be by accident. You're not just going to happen to catch the rapture at the right moment. It's not going to happen that way. And my wife talked about the perimeters, staying within the lines. You know, sometimes we see those borders and we see those perimeters as in a bondage perspective, like, you know, God's just trying to keep me in this box. Well, I want to tell you, only an idiot tears down a fence without knowing why it was built. And to think for a moment that God is just trying to put limits and borders on our life that have no reason or purpose, it's just not good thinking. It's just not wise thinking. What God does, He does intentionally. And even though you may not understand it, and I may not understand everything, you know, I'm smart enough to know that there is a God and I'm not Him. And that if He has taken the time to pin it in His Word, to give us direction, to give us clarity, I don't want to ignore that. I don't want to play with that. I don't want to gamble with that. And I don't know, forgive me for coming over maybe the way I am right now. It's always exciting to come to Jefferson and just watch and see what God is doing. Every time I come, there's people I've never seen before. And that's exciting to me. But this morning, for whatever reason, there is I just sense an urgency in here today. And I don't know why. I don't know who. I don't know if it's somebody that's brand new, that's never been here. Maybe you haven't been here maybe just a week or two. Or maybe you've been here forever, or maybe you've come back. You've been away a while and you've come back. But I want to tell you, don't ignore this hour. Don't minimize why you're here today. Don't allow yourself to just be a spectator. I'm not here to perform. I'm not here with fancy oratory. In fact, my message is really very simple today. I don't even think I'm going to even preach that long, which is good news for some of you. But there's an urgency in the house. God has drawn some parameters. And I pray to God you won't ignore them. Will you stand with me together?
If you have your Bibles, I would like you to turn to the book of John, chapter 3. I want to just say how honored we are
that Pastor R. Derry would trust us in his absence. This may be bad news to some of you, but you'll see me again next week. And so you can determine if you want to be here or not. John chapter 3, start reading at verse number 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with you." I'm going to read that again. "We know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with you." Jesus answered. Here's where verse 3 actually starts. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see kingdom of God." That's a parameter. It's a boundary that Jesus set. It's not conditional, or it's not for just a certain group, but it's for everybody. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now here's the thing to understand by that statement. The word "see" there doesn't mean to see with your natural eye. It actually means to comprehend, to understand. And so if you're struggling a little bit to understand what appears to be craziness sometimes in this house, the reason is you need to be born again. Because there's some things you don't understand unless the Spirit of God is in you. Verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old?" See, he's looking through the natural eye. How is this possible? Jesus answered, "Most assured," Nicodemus went on to say, "Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." There's the second parameter. The first parameter is you're not going to understand it. The second parameter is you're not going to get in it. That's some pretty strong language. Now look at Acts chapter 2. Start reading with verse 36. "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, here's the parameters. Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or the forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you, to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. No one eliminated. No one excluded. Father, into your hands we commend our spirit to be used as your oracle. You know every person here today. You know everyone under the sound of our voice. And Lord, you and you alone know why I am feeling the urgency that I am feeling here today. I ask you, God, to touch every heart. Open every ear. Let us all hear what the Spirit would say to the church today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Thank you for standing so long. And you may be seated. My message this morning is very, very simple. Would the sound man, Brother Brad, can you go to the next verse, chapter 2, verse 40? Can you pull that up for me, sir? There you go. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, will you read with me? Save yourselves from this untoward generation. That's actually my message this morning. The title of my message this morning is, you must save yourself. You must save yourselves. In this sanctuary this morning are people with so many different likes and dislikes. My wife again talked about the difference between her and her older sister. Her older sister is an artist. My wife is a wannabe. Just saying. We all have different likes. We have different dislikes. We have different talents. We have different abilities. We have different personalities. And on and on and on we go. It is said that each of us, now think about this, we are so uniquely different that there are no two people who share the same DNA in the entire world. I mean, we're looking at a world now of almost 8 billion people. And there are no two people that share the same DNA. I don't know about you, but that's totally amazing to me. Yet, with all of our differences, there are things that we all have in common. My wife and I are always being asked, because over the past 26 years, we have traveled in many, many nations of the world. And we are always being asked, in fact, we were just asked this a week ago, what country do we like best of all the countries that we've traveled in? And our response is always the same. Do you mean land or people? See, here's what we've learned. Regardless of where we go or what the cultural distinctions may be, people are people. We all have strengths. We all have weaknesses. We all have feelings. We all have likes. We all have dislikes. We all want to have a life of peace and safety. I think we all want to be saved. And while there are definitely things that are different about us, and God deals with us in very unique ways as individuals, there are some things that are the same, regardless of who we are, regardless of where we are born, regardless of how we are raised, regardless of what culture we live in. Any serious student of the Bible will know God's plan of salvation is not different from person to person, from nation to nation, any more than the plan of how you were born naturally is different. I can go to any nation in this world and I know how people were born. I know how they were conceived. I know how they came about. And while there may be some uniquenesses, some may have been born in a hut, some may have been born in a barn, some may have been born in a taxi cab, some may have been born in a hospital, some may have been born at home. But the bottom line is, we all came the same way. Now, we didn't choose who our parents were. We didn't choose how we were brought up. We didn't choose what type of food we were going to grow up liking or disliking. We didn't choose the cultural distinctions that we may grow up because somebody in our life said, this is important, and they said, this isn't important, and they shaped those things into us. But the reality is, regardless of the language we speak, regardless of the type of food we eat, there's primarily one way to be born into this world. And I say that to make one very critical, important point. There is a universal question that everyone asks when they become God conscious in their life. I'm going to tell you, if there is anything in you today that is, okay, I realize I need to change my life. I realize this world is not looking good. I realize, you know, my health is not what it ought to be. I realize my marriage is in trouble. I realize my relationships are in trouble. Whatever may bring you to a point of a God consciousness, there will always be a question in the back of that mind that says, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? Some of you may have drug yourself, got your carcass out of bed this morning, and came back into this sanctuary today, not really knowing all the answers, but you just know, I just know something's got to change. Something in my life has to be different. And you came here with a search, maybe wanting to know, what, Bishop, do I need to do? Elder, what do I need to do? Pastor Ardery, what do I need to do? I don't care who you are. I don't care how old you are. The answer will always be the same unless you've already been born again. See, sometimes we may ask the question differently. We may think of it in a different way. But it really does mirror the question that was asked the very day the church was born in Acts chapter 2 over 2,000 years ago. In some form or another, what must we do is always the question. The Apostle Peter didn't set them down in small groups and choose one plan for one group and another plan for another group. He gave them a corporate response And it's the same response that God gives us today, regardless of what nation we're in or what culture we're about. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. I'm reading from Acts 2:36, starting there. Now, when they heard this, is anybody listening this morning? Now, when they heard this, they were, King James says, pricked in the heart. New King James says, cut to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then said Peter and the rest of the apostles, in other words, all of the apostles that were there that day were in agreement with what was going to be said. First thing was repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or the forgiveness of those sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise, this promise is to you, it's to your children, and it's to all who are afar off. Who does all exclude? As many as the Lord our God will call. Repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, and receiving the Holy Ghost was then and still is today God's plan for salvation for every person on the face of this earth. The Apostle Peter's response was a direct answer to a direct question. Now let's take a few minutes and let's just examine the apostle's response. Repent. What does it mean? Well, everybody knows it means you come to the altar and you bawl and you sling snot everywhere. And unless you've done that, you haven't really repented. Well, while that may accompany repentance, I've seen that same response when people just got caught doing something they shouldn't have done. There wasn't any repentance. They just got caught. And they were concerned about what the consequences were going to be. See, the word repent literally means to change one's mind. That's what it means. How long does it take a person to change their mind? Now, it may bring tears and snot to bring you to that point, to bring you to that place. But I've seen a lot of people show a lot of emotion, and when they get up from the altar, nothing changes. Now, I am not one of these preachers that's just going to smile at you and tell you God loves you just the way you are. Just say a pretty prayer, tell Him I accept you, and you go about your merry way. I'm not going to give you that lie. Now, I'm not saying making a confession or saying, Jesus, I accept you. Jesus, come into my life. I am not going to say that that does not have impact, because it does on a lot of people. But that's not the full message. There has got to be a change of one's mind and then be willing to live within the parameters. Do what the Bible says. There's got to be something on the inside that says, I came to the altar one way, but when I leave this altar, there's going to be things that are going to be changed in my life. And can I pause here and tell you that repentance is not just something for those who have never been born again. Repentance is something for every single one of us, every single day of our lives. Every morning we wake up, there ought to be something on the inside that changes our mind. When we go to bed at night, if you're tempted to do something that you shouldn't do, there ought to be something that changes your mind. There ought to be something on the inside that aligns you with a holy God and a holy Word. It begins with repentance, assuming you already believe. Now, if you're not a believer, if you don't even know there's a God or believe there's a God, that's where you start. And the reason the Bible talks so much about believing is because when the Bible was written, it wasn't like it is today in America, where the majority of people believe there is a God. You may not know who he is. You may not understand the details about him. But there's something that says, I believe in God. I just want to be saved. And I want to know what's true. And I want to know what's right. And the first place begins with repentance. Have you repented? Do you need to repent? Is there a lifestyle you're involved with that you know is not of God? You don't even need a Bible to tell you. You just know it's not right. And see, I am of the opinion that no one walks into an apostolic church by accident. And I've said so many times, I don't care how many bad decisions you may have made, if you made the decision to be here this morning, regardless of the motive, you've made a right decision. You see, repentance is not only an emotional response, it's a clear choice. It's a decision that only you can make yourself. Baptism in Jesus' name. Baptism is so important because it is for the remission or forgiveness of sins. The Apostle Peter told them what to do, how to do it, and why they should do it. Baptism isn't just an outward confession of an inward faith. That's not scriptural. That's a man-made ideology. Has nothing to do with Bible. The Bible specifically says it is for the remission or the forgiveness of sins. If that's true, then how can your sins be forgiven without it? That's a parameter, my brothers and sisters. That's a non-negotiable parameter. Baptism wasn't merely a religious ritual. Baptism symbolizes a new beginning. It also revealed what was necessary to have their sins remitted or forgiven. It was more than a pardon or a release. It was a complete removal of every sin that's ever been committed. One of the reasons I love to see people baptized in Jesus' name, because when they go down in that water, when they come up, the Bible says they come up in the newness of life. Every sin that was ever committed prior to that moment is washed away. It'll never be remembered again by Jesus Christ. He'll never bring that up in your face ever again. The only way it can be brought up is if you bring it back up. If you pull it out of the blood and you remember it. And unfortunately, that happens a lot. There's just something about looking in the mirror every day that has a way of, you know, I know some of you, when you look in the mirror, you go, wow, you are awesome. But not everybody does that. Some people look in the mirror and the enemy loves to remind them of their past. Can I tell you, I heard this preached many years ago and I've never forgotten it. Whenever the devil tries to remind you of your past, remind him of his future. Remind him of what he's headed for. And then, of course, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. This is not just a gift from God. Maybe you're here today and you think that the infilling of the Holy Ghost is just a extra gift, just an extra something that God gives, but it's not necessary. It's not really. I don't mean to disagree, but you just don't understand Scripture. Well, the Bible says that, you know, talks about spiritual gifts, plural. And not everybody has all the spiritual gifts. And you know, and so in Acts 2 and 38, when the Scripture says, and you shall be filled, receive the gift. It's not plural. Did you notice that? It's gift. It's one. It's singular. It's not even the same Greek word. The Greek word you're talking about in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, the gifts of the Spirit, that Greek word is charisma. It just simply means a spiritual endowment. That word there, it's not charisma. It comes from a Greek word, doron. And you know what it means? The sacrifice. Who was the sacrifice for you? Let's just imagine this is a beautiful bouquet of roses. It's a dozen. See how beautiful they are? Red. Beautiful. It's my wife's favorite color. Her name is Rose, of course. And she loves red roses. And so I try from time to time to get her some roses. And so just imagine here this morning, I'm handing her a dozen of beautiful roses. Here, baby, I'm giving you a gift. She's receiving a gift from me. That's where the teaching in Corinthians comes from. They're gifts given from God. Will you hold this for me, please? No. I'll do my best not to break her. But if I come and sit down and say, hey, baby, I'm your gift. That's what it happens when you receive the Holy Ghost. You're not just receiving a gift of many, but Jesus Christ is the gift. What does the Bible say? Christ in you, who ought? The hope of glory. How many is thankful? Any witnesses in here today are thankful for the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Christ that's living in you, that is enabling you to be who you're called to be? Come on now, somebody. Act like you really are filled with the Holy Ghost. Are anybody filled with the Holy Ghost in the house today? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the gift of the Holy Ghost that's dwelling in me. And that's God's will for every single person on the face of the earth. He wants you to repent of your sins. Because if you don't, you'll never make right choices. See, that's really what repentance is. It's just making right choices. I was walking this way, but I repent and I begin to walk this way. I'm sure I've used this illustration before, but just let me help you understand. Any military in here today, any former military, I just need one. I just need somebody to stand. Will you stand? Come on out here. Okay. Just imagine what branch were you in? Okay, cool. Okay, so you'll understand then. Tent, hut! Right, face! Left, face! About, face! Everybody see that? About, face! He still got it. Give him a hand. Anybody here from England? But he got British roots. Way back in the cheap seats back there. They say, whoever they are, that the British Army, they don't say about face. They say repent. It's a complete turnaround. You walk in this sanctuary one way, but when you repent of your sins, you walk out going a completely different way. And then you allow this church and God's word to direct you and help you align yourself. Hey, let me tell you something. Maybe you've been backslidden and you walk back into sanctuary. Maybe you prayed back through even today already. Well, let me tell you something. Repent! Come in here different. Act different. I won't charge you for this, but if you have been away from God and you're coming back to God, I'll tell you one of the mistakes that's often made. You want to come in like somebody brand new. You want to, just come in. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. He that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. When you come back to God, you begin walking the same life you knew when you left. Don't try to tiptoe your way back into the kingdom. Why? Parameters. Am I all right today? Am I preaching all right today? Let's lift our hands to the Lord right now. In the name of Jesus. Acts 2 and 40, through 42. Then Peter said unto them, and with many other words did he testify and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Save yourselves from this untoward, this perverted generation. Then those who gladly received his word, what'd they do? They were baptized. And the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. See, it's obvious Peter's message to them was not a passive suggestion, but it was an urgent appeal. The Bible said he testified. What does that mean? He gave personal evidence. The Bible said he exhorted them. What does that mean? It means a strong appeal to move people to action. Save yourselves. Well, nobody can save you but God. Correct. He does the finished work. But you'll never even get there unless you make some right choices personally. Save yourselves from this perverse. The word perverse is obstinate, wicked, a deliberate intention to do wrong regardless of the consequence. See, to Peter and the other apostles, this wasn't just a good idea. It didn't just qualify people for a new religion. They understood it was heaven or hell. It was salvation. It was life or death. It was heaven or hell. We don't hear about hell much anymore, do we? The message that needs to be heard this morning, it's more than a how-to lesson to salvation or an even why you need to do it. Salvation isn't something that just happens simply because you want to be saved, you need it, or I'm a nice person, Bishop. Bottom line is, and I felt this so strongly to preach today, you need to save yourselves. You need to quit thinking about it. You need to quit just, well, the right time, the right day. No. Today. Today is the day of salvation. Today. Today is the day. Today is the day. In the natural, you had nothing to do with being born. However, in the spiritual, you have everything to do with being born again. Everything. So here's what I know as I wrap this message up today. They obviously understood the urgency of Peter's message because we see their immediate response. 3,000 souls responded to the preaching of the gospel. What about you? If you're here this morning and you need more understanding, you know what I know? This sanctuary is filled with people who would be willing to sit down with you, take time, and to share with you the rights and the wrongs of the Scripture and the things to do, the things not to do. They'd be happy to walk you through the plan of salvation. They would be happy to teach you a Bible study, walk you through Genesis, to take you all the way through this Bible. They'd be happy to do that. But if you understand this altar is open for you and that you are already feeling the responsibility to answer the question because you know the question, then I'm appealing to you. Please, please, please save yourselves. No one can do it for you. God will not act until you do. Salvation is a choice. It's not just a right, it's a choice. You and I decide which world we choose to live in. We decide if we want to be saved and go to heaven, or if we want to just live our life and go to hell. We decide. We choose who we allow to influence our lives. We choose what set of guidelines we want to follow. My wife this morning, standing in the kitchen, Joe, I don't think I have anything today. It's okay. And driving here, I got something, but I'm not sure it's for today. We pulled in the parking lot and I said, listen, first of all, you're not going to say anything that's wrong or bad. But I just feel like you need to share what you've got to share today. And it was the perfect opening to what needed to be said today. Stand with me together, would you? Have a couple more passages of Scripture. And I know you're standing. If you have trouble standing, you can be seated because I'm going to read a couple sets of Scripture. Romans chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. Watch this. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. Watch this now. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Against who? All ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Now, let's go to Romans 6. Watch this. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? I'll read it from King James. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are. His servants, excuse me, ye are to whom you obey. Whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were, everybody say were, the servants of sin, but you have what? Obeyed. Everybody say obey. Obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Let me put it in an Ellis, back it up. Let me put it in an Ellis paraphrase. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that had some parameters for you to live in. Next verse. Watch this. Being made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. Hear me, please. As much as God wants you saved, you must save yourselves. Nothing less than obedience to the doctrinal parameters that God has set in His Word will save us. It's not about just being good or thinking we're good. It's about aligning ourselves up. And I want to encourage you. These are last days. These are last days. Will you lift your hands to the Lord right now? Come on. In the name of Jesus. I want the leadership to be very sensitive this morning. If you're here today and you need to save yourselves, whether you've been living for God for years and you're just not in a good place, or whether you're brand new and you need to repent for the very first time, this altar is open to you. Is there anybody in here today that will save yourselves before it's eternally too late? I'm not trying to scare you to an altar. I wish I could, but I'm asking you here today, where are you at? What kind of relationship are you having? When's the last time you've spoken in tongues? When's the last time you've allowed God to really melt this heart? Thank you for those of you that are responding. I'm asking the leaders, precious saints of God, come. It's okay if we have music, but I don't think we need any right now, honestly. I'd rather have you at the altar helping us pray for these people. Come on. Come on. Come on. Why don't all of us just come? Why don't we all just come and stand at this altar here today? Come on. Come on, reach your heart out today. If you see somebody you know that needs God, that needs salvation, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I've never been born again. I've never been baptized in Jesus' name. Come on, just talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Why don't we all just take some time to repent right now? Father, forgive us. Come on, let's just repent together collectively here. Lord, forgive us. Help us, Lord, today to be who we need to be. In the name of Jesus. Come on, talk to Him. You're allowed to talk to Him. Come on, you're allowed to talk to Him. Help us here today, Lord. Help us here today, Lord. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. Oh God, I want to be saved. I want to be who you want me to be. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, that's it. Come on, if you've repented, open your voice right now and talk to Him. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Come on. Let God fill you with the Holy Ghost right now. That's it. Open your voice. Open your voice. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. Come on, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on. Come on. If you're not praying for yourself right now, why don't you find somebody to pray for? Why don't you find somebody to pray for? Oh, holy God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. 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 Oh, God, we honor you. We honor you. We honor you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, we honor you today. We honor you today. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name and you desire to be, please talk to one of the elders here today. Talk to somebody that can make that happen for you. Amen. And it is God's will that you receive the Holy Ghost. And it's important that when you pray, God is not going to force you to open your mouth and speak. You've got to be willing to begin to talk to the Lord. I never forget, I don't know why I'm about to say what I'm about to say, but young child, he was, I don't know, 7 or 8 years old, and you would know him. His name is Mike Abitangelo.
And it's Brother Dan Abitangelo, the new pastor in Parma. It's his brother. And he was about, 8 years old. He was praying for the Holy Ghost. So, you know, I'm the pastor, right? So I'm knelt down in front of him and I'm praying for him. And I feel a tap on my shoulder. And one of Mike's friends, Ken Janella, who is about the same age, is tapping me on the shoulder. Pastor, pastor, pastor. I said, yes. He said, tell Mike to pray to God the same way he would talk to his teacher at school. I thought, right. But Ken was just passionate about God as a young child. You know, the Bible does say, can a child teach you a thing? And I thought, you know, that doesn't make a lick of sense to me. But I'm going to say it. And I said, Mike, just pray to God the same way you would talk to your teacher at school. Next words out of his mouth, he was speaking in tongues. Now, I'm saying that to say this. I realize some of you are new, and maybe praying out loud is not something you're accustomed to do. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. The reason we pray audibly, it speaks faith to us. We're hearing our own voice, whether that be requesting from God, whether that be giving praise to God, it speaks faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And, you know, on the day of Pentecost, the room was filled. They were filled and began to speak with tongues. Now, we're not going to tell you what to say. We're not one of those groups that says, just repeat after me. You know, God is the one that gives you the Holy Ghost. We're not going to give you the Holy Ghost. But you will quench God's ability to give you the Holy Ghost if you're unwilling to speak. He's not going to give you the Holy Ghost in your mind. People say, well, that's a personal experience. Excuse me. When they received the Holy Ghost, it was a corporate experience. Now, you can receive it at home. My wife and I, there was a young girl we were mentoring picking up when we were, I lived in one neighborhood before we were ever pastoring. We talked to her about receiving the Holy Ghost, and she was so hungry for God. She was kind of a tomboy, and she got it that Sunday afternoon in a tree. Where you get it, be it at home, be it here. Well, I receive it at home all by myself. I'll never do it corporately. It's not scripture. It's not scripture. It's not scripture. And so we're not trying to make you, force you. I'm just giving you some advice. The 20th of February was our 46th anniversary of being called into ministry. So we've been in ministry a few years. And I've never, ever seen anybody receive the Holy Ghost keeping their mouth shut. Doesn't happen. Because it's a supernatural gift that God speaks through us. which means we've got to open our voice. And we've got to speak. Okay? I'll tell you a good way to practice. Let's just lift our hands and give God thanks right now. Would you just open your voice right now and audibly give Him praise? Come on, we honor You today. We honor You today. We honor You today. We give You thanks, Lord. We give You thanks, Lord. Come on, that's it. Go ahead. Go ahead. Just talk to Him. Thank You, Lord. We love You, Jesus. We magnify Your great name. There's no God beside You. None beside You. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank You, Lord. 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 Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank You for this day. I thank You for every person here this morning. I thank You, God, for their hunger, for their desire for You. God, help us all walk out of here with a repentant heart, with a repentant attitude, with a willingness to change whatever needs to be changed so that we can be the man or the woman that You've called us to be. We give You honor and we give You praise in Jesus' name. God bless you. Greet one another. Shake hands with one another. Be dismissed in the name of the Lord.